You are listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with Dr. Abby Metcalf. Change your relationship even if your partner won't do a thing.
You're listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with Dr. Abby Metcalf, episode 2. Hey everyone, I'm so glad you're here with me today. I know you have a lot of choices with how to spend your time, so I'm always make the podcast, you know, just tons of information coming right at you, and today is no different. Today is the 4 ways keeping score in your relationship makes you lose. So you want to sit tight if you're in a coupledom where you guys keep score, where, you know, you don't want to drive your kid to baseball on Tuesday because it's not your turn. You did it last week, or, you know, it's not your turn to put away the dishes. If you say stuff like that, this is the podcast for you. So there's a lot going on to today's, you know, relationships. It really is. There's too much, so much. You know, we got commuting, work, deadlines, keeping the house together, fitting in time with friends. We're supposed to be doing self-care. You know, just the general maintenance of life. It leaves a lot of us feeling exhausted at the end of the day. So throw in kids, pets, maybe you got aging parents. I've got that. I'm part of what's called the sandwich generation. You know, I've got younger children. They're getting a little older now, but they're, in middle school. I got middle schoolers, and I've got a aging mom down in Florida where Jews go. That's what happens. That's why she's in Florida from New York. You know, that's where everybody moves, that I'm also taking care of. And it's just, it's hard to be in the middle of the two, to be in such active childcare and actively engaged, you know, with trying to make sure my mom's okay. So all these things can tip couples right over the edge of time management. Right over the edge. There's just so much. And I don't even care if you're a couple that's not married, you know, maybe you just live together, and I shouldn't say just, sorry. Maybe you live together and you don't have kids. You're still busy, aren't you? There's still tons of stuff going on. You still have lots of things that are taking up your time and attention. And with all these things competing for that time and attention, we often look to our partner to save the day, to help out, you know, pull their weight. We use all kinds of terms, don't we? And you can easily start watching everything they do and comparing it to what you do. So in effect, you start keeping score in your relationship. And I have to tell you, every time this leads to feelings of resentment, anxiety, frustration, depression, disappointment. If you're feeling any of these things in your relationship, I will bet money that you are keeping score in some way, even if you don't realize it. And again, if you've ever even said, it's not my turn to put away the dishes, you're keeping score. Taking turns, think about it. You do that in games. If you're treating your relationship like a game, you're screwed. Now, none of these, you know, this resentment, this anxiety, all these are not the feelings you want if you're looking for a connected, you know, happy, satisfying relationship. So whether you've been together 10 months or 10 years, keeping score and competing often becomes a really unwelcome component of many relationships. And I have to tell you, just again, the majority of couples who come in, this is what they deal with on some level. And it gets worse the more stuff that goes on, the more someone maybe feels like they're the primary breadwinner or taking care of the kids, or, you know, if there's, you know, again, aging parents in the mix, whatever. The more someone feels they have too much on their plates, the more they often start looking towards their partner and seeing what they're doing. You know, again, are they pulling their weight? So basically, there's 4 ways that keeping score in your relationship is setting you up to lose. There's 4 ways I've identified that you're probably keeping score and you're screwing yourself over. So I'm going to go over those 4 ways today. We're going to talk about those today. So number one, keeping score sets you up on opposite sides. It seems obvious, but folks don't seem to get this. So again, we might say something like, oh, I drove Matthew to baseball on Tuesday, so it's your turn to take Sophie to soccer practice on Thursday. Or again, I hate the most, it's your turn to put away the dishes. That one really does drive me nuts. I've already repeated it 3 times, but I hear it so much. Or it's your turn to clean up the dog poop, or it's your turn to walk the dog, or it's your turn, right? Yeah. So again, taking turns happens in games and sports, and you can't be treating your relationship this way, because keeping score in your relationship puts you and your partner on opposite teams. You're on two different teams. Think about it. This sets one of you up to win and one of you to lose. If you're on different teams, one of you's going to win, one of you's going to lose. Right away, we're in trouble. We're competing with our partners. How do you expect to have a connected and loving relationship when there's this underlying tension of someone losing or missing out? This kind of thinking worms itself into the foundation of your relationship, and before long, you're going to see lots of cracks, if not actual walls crumbling down. It's going to happen. So I need you to get out of the keeping score mindset. Instead, think of you and your partner as being on the same team. And by this is so important. If you get nothing else from today, get this. This means you are one shared resource. You are one pool. If you are one shared resource, then ultimately, if you're pulling energy from your partner, you're really pulling it from yourself. Your team becomes drained, and it's hard to win the game when your team is tapped out, right? Think about it. So, and this happens all the time. Partners think, oh, you know, there's something we need done in the relationship, whatever that is. I'll get my husband to do it. I'll get my wife to do it. I'll get my fiance to do it, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. It's always looking within. I tell couples all the time, you got to start looking without. Hire a gardener, hire a cleaning lady, get a nanny, get someone else to carpool. Think of something outside the relationship more often than you think of something inside the relationship to solve it. If the two of you are, you know, at the end of your respective ropes in any way, and if you're at the end of your rope, you got to try to bet that your partner is probably at the end of theirs. Because again, you guys are a shared resource. What happens is people think they push themselves to the end, they push themselves to a limit, and they think, they look at their partner and go, well, they're not doing as much as me. They could do more. And this is not how we want to be thinking. You don't want to be trying to get your partner to do the very, very most they can do until they're totally up against the wall. Number one, not everybody's built that way. So you might be able to do more than your partner can do. That's number one, just bandwidth, mental capacity wise. And number two, why are we all drained? How are you expecting to have a rock star relationship with everybody drained? It doesn't work that way. So to stop this behavior, like I said, you got to add resources instead of always looking to your partner to fill in the blanks or pick up the slack. So instead of thinking, again, it's like your partner's turn to clean the bathroom, why not figure out how to hire a cleaning person so neither of you has to do it? And you can use the resources of the couple for other more important things, like having rock star sex or relaxing, God forbid, or finally getting to that dentist appointment you've been putting off, right? Something. If you don't have money, you can do things like bartering. Hey, best friend, can you help me clean the garage and I'll help you with X? Or buy you lunch, or just give you my undying loyalty if you do this, you know? Or you could try swapping. Hey, mother, my best friend's kid that I barely speak to, can you carpool on Tuesdays and I'll do Thursdays? Again, you got to ask. That's how you'll find out. There are many ways to add resources to your relationship instead of exhausting the players on your team. If you're both stressed and overwhelmed, it's just not helping anyone. Remember that when you constantly look to your partner to do their part, you're actually taking away from yourself. And again, you start to get into that competition and it really just destroys a relationship. You've got to be on the same team. But having this idea of a pool, that you are one shared pool, one shared resource, is really one of the best ways to really start to change how you guys operate. So just that mindset, just that flip in worldview will do so much good, I promise. So let's get on that. Okay, number two. So, you know, of stopping keeping score in your relationships, right? How do you stop keeping score in your relationship? And why? Why should you, right? The reason number two is that keeping score in your relationship stops you from listening and connecting. So tell me if this sounds familiar. You've set up the carpools for the kids for the week. You've shopped for and made dinner. And this was difficult because of little Jimmy's recently diagnosed gluten allergy. You've emailed back and forth all day about some things you need to do for a PTA meeting on Wednesday. You stopped and picked up your husband's dry cleaning, and you scheduled a guy to take down the big tree whose roots have made your driveway look like a skating park. Okay, then your husband gets home and thinks it's a good idea to sneak in some sex before you all have to go pick up the kids from their respective sports practices. You're exhausted already and still have a full night of kids, homework, baths, and more emails, and you've time manage yourself down to the second to get all that done. You did not factor in sex with your hubby. So when you rebuff his advances, he complains, you never want to have sex anymore. You don't make time for me. You're pissed and you quickly start to tick off your long, long list of all the things you've done today. I did this and I took Jimmy here and we had the gluten allergy and I had to call the doctor and I had it right. Do you see? Did you ever do this? Is this just me? You liars. It's everybody. This is keeping score. This is keeping score. You've got your scorecard and it's full, so you think you're covered, right? I did all this stuff. My scorecard is full. I can list all the things I've done, so I'm good. I don't have to worry anymore about this relationship. I don't have to put in any more effort. I have decided, but here's the problem. You decided what was the priority and what was the most important thing there. And it's often not what your husband, trust me, your husband would have put sex before little Jimmy's gluten allergy every time. Now, or the PTA meeting or whatever. Now you think, well, but I can't do that because if little Jimmy gets sick from his gluten allergy, I'm the one who has to stay home with him and I'm the one who has to deal with this and blah, blah, blah. That can all be true. But again, it's not what your husband prioritized. So it doesn't make it right. Just because you think it's right, I know this is a shock to me too, because I know that my priorities are right, but apparently everyone doesn't agree with my priorities. And apparently I have to listen to other people. I know it's shocking, but that's the deal. So you got to get that part out of your head that because you have a long list and you check things off that you're done. Your scorecard isn't someone else's scorecard. And you're not covered just because you've done this list. You're not. And again, this competition puts you in the loser seat. If it was up to, again, your hubby, he'd rather you all just ordered in the pizza, the kids went to bed slightly stinky, and he got a blowjob. That would have been fine with him. Your list means nothing to him. The things on your list are all about what you deem important and necessary. He's right that you don't prioritize and make time for him. Again, you know, if a strong marriage is your goal and your partner tells you they feel ignored in some way, then listing all the ways you don't ignore them isn't the answer. And again, I've done this too. We've all done this. It doesn't matter. I know it's hard to hear, but it doesn't matter that your intention isn't to ignore your partner. It doesn't matter that you're doing all these things that ultimately help your partner, you know, the getting the tree roots taken care of so that he has a nice driveway to come into, getting the garage door fixed so he can drive the car into the garage, get, you know, all these things you do that just, you know, make life easy. I bet the man's probably never bought toilet paper because there's always toilet paper in your house, or paper towels or tissues, things, you know, that just make life run easy. But again, if he had a choice of a blowjob or toilet paper, he'd pick the blowjob every friggin' time. I'm telling you that right now. Go ask your husband if you don't believe me. Go ask him right now. Would you rather have Kleenex tissues in pretty boxes in every room, or would you rather have a blowjob every night? He's going to say blowjob. I'm telling you right now. So that's the end of the story. So again, you have to realize that your priorities aren't his priorities. And if, again, if your end game is a strong marriage, you've got to figure some things out here. So ask your partner what they would like to see more of in the relationship. What could you do to let them know they're a priority? Reading off your list is about being right. It's not about your partner or you being happy. And I say a lot, you can be correct or effective. Would you rather be correct or effective? It's the old happy or right. You've heard me say it a million times. I'm going to repeat it because I always do. You can't be both at the same time. You can't be, and I used to say right or happy, but people, of course, you know, I'd say, hey, do you want to be right or happy? And they'd say, I want to be both. So I stopped saying that. And instead I say, do you want to be correct or effective? You could be correct all day that life really is easier when there's toilet paper there to wipe your ass. It's true. But is it effective? Is that the thing that's giving you a happy relationship? If that's your end game, not just feeling excited to be with your husband, feeling excited to be with your partner, happy, laughing, easy, not nagging, appreciative, gratitude, all that good stuff. If that's your end game, then it doesn't matter if the paper towels you bought match the kitchen perfectly. It just doesn't matter. At the end of the day, that's really for you anyway, not for him. So keep that in mind. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. All right. So the next time you're in an argument with your partner and they ask for something, again, instead of listing all the things you did do, so that, how could they possibly feel that way? I did all these things. Listen to what they're saying and understanding that despite how much you've done, it's not what they wanted or needed. They needed something else. So I don't ever want you to come back when they say, I feel neglected or I'm having a hard time or whatever it is with all the things you've done. Again, that's keeping score. All right. Number three, why we don't keep score in a relationship. And this is a biggie and takes a kind of, again, a mindset to really think about. Equal time doesn't mean equal value. And let me tell you a little more about this. So nothing in a relationship is fair or equal if you look at it from a time perspective. So the problem with looking at your relationship from a time perspective is that it doesn't take into account the value of what's being done, irrespective of time. I call this the lions and hyenas effect, right? You know how in a pride of lions, the women, the females, the lionesses do the majority of the work. The lionesses hunt, they care for the young. That takes up a majority of their waking hours, right? Meanwhile, the males are, you know, sleeping and lying around, waiting to have sex. it seems unfair, right? I mean, it's really not though, because you see, the lions have a very few very important jobs, which are vital to the survival of the pride. They just don't take as much time at their jobs as the lionesses do. The males are all about defending and fighting when those hyenas come around, right? That's their big job. And this, it's big and it's no less crucial than getting food, because otherwise the hyenas would take over and it'd be a big problem. The fact that they don't have to do it as much as the females have to hunt is inconsequential. The fact that they, you know, they're the ones who have to have sex with the females, right? Yeah, the females have to have the babies and do all that, but the males having sex, they have the sperm, it matters. Again, it doesn't mean it's of less value. You can have all those little lioness eggs in the world. You're not going to have any baby lions or tigers or whatever they give birth to. I guess they don't give birth to tigers. You're not going to have any baby lions if you don't have any male sperm. It's just the bottom line. So this is what happens when people get really stuck. And what happens with thinking of time as equal, you got to remember that it doesn't also take equal bandwidth, okay? So again, equal time doesn't equal value, right? So the two don't go together. But also there's this bandwidth idea. So for example, like grocery shopping, and I get women complaining about this all the time. They'll say, well, I sent my husband to the store for milk, but when he got there, he had 50 questions. What kind of milk do we have? Do I get the big one or the small one? Do I get this one or that? Do we have organic milk? Do we not? Is it 2%? Is it fat-free? What is it? And of course, the woman is like, we've been married for 18 years, or we've been together for 20 years, whatever it is. And you don't know what kind of milk is in the fridge. I've bought the same milk for the last 15 years. How do you not know? Well, they don't. Because they're lions. They don't pay attention to the milk in the fridge. They don't. Some of them do. Some of you guys out there do. Most of them do not. And women get very angry at this. They feel so frustrated. And I can only tell you, stop feeling frustrated. Get over it. And I can also tell you, the bandwidth then that it takes a man to go and do this work, to go to the, you know, to the store, to go to the store, to pick up the groceries, to figure it out, to not know where things are up and down the aisles, right? I mean, I can hit the Trader Joe's near here in like 5 minutes and pick up like 20 things, right? If I sent, let's say my son could go in. I've sent him in before. I've waited in the car and go, hey, run in and grab butter or something. Forget it. Because if you're not used to it, and if it's not something comfortable to you, it takes up more bandwidth. It's harder to do. And even though the job of grocery shopping is simple, it takes some people much longer than others, right? You got to think this through. And I'm going to tell you a story from not even my current relationship, a relationship ago, but it's perfect for this. So it has to do with the car. So I had a situation with my car where one of my tires was low, and my hubby had said to me, he goes, hey, your tires are low on the car, you know, the air is low on the car, and you need to take care of that. And I was like, okay, sure. Now, I know nothing about cars. When people ask me what kind of car I have, I say silver. So I know nothing. I never focused on cars. I don't really understand cars. I don't, you know, lived in New York City for a long time. Don't think you need a car. You know, cars are not my thing. So it didn't really occur to me what getting air in the tire meant. And I didn't really get it. And I didn't realize I didn't get it though, because he said it and I was like, okay, got to do it. And I was like Teflon to that suggestion. It came in and it slid right off the top of my head. And about a week later, it wasn't quite a week. It was probably 4 or 5 days later. He said, oh my God, now the air in my tire is really low on my car. And he goes, hey, the air on your tire is really low now. That's dangerous. Not only is it dangerous for you to drive around that way, but it can ruin the wheels and the hub or whatever. He's telling me all this stuff. And I go, okay. And again, I still don't quite do it. You know, and in my head, I have no idea how to fill air in a tire. I had no clue at the time. I thought it meant that I had to go to the mechanic or maybe Big O Tires where I bought the tires and I'd have to go take them in. And to me, it was a whole thing to do. Okay. People are laughing out there who know how to put air in a tire, but I did not know. I had no idea. So that weekend, I came out at one point and my car was gone. And I didn't really think much of it because sometimes, you know, you take each other's car or whatever. But when later he got home and I looked and I saw that the air was back in the tire. I actually noticed because the tire had gotten that low. And I said, and I was so relieved. I can't even tell you. It's like someone gave me $1 million. And I said, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for putting the air in my tire. I really appreciate it. And he said to me, it was so great. He goes, you know, I was really annoyed that you weren't putting the air in the tire. You kept ignoring me. But then I thought to myself, you know, she's like the most competent person in the world. She's like the most competent person I know. I don't know why she's not putting the stupid air in the tire, but she's not. So I'm just going to go do it because it takes 5 seconds. And I said to him at the time, I go, did it? Like, how'd you do it? What'd you do? And he looked at me like I was insane. He goes, and there's a gas station literally like on our corner practically. I mean, it was probably 2 blocks away. And he said, I went over to the gas station. I put the air in and I said, they do it there? Is there a person? You know, I did not know that there was a little machine there. You put in some quarters, although I guess now it's free. I don't even know. But, and you know, you fill the air up. I did not know how that all worked. So this is a classic hyenas and lions kind of thing. This is a classic, even though it took him minutes, literally 10 minutes to go do that. The bandwidth for me to go change the air in that tire, for me to figure that out and to do all that was so much more. It would have taken so much more effort and mental capacity. It was wearing me out. I couldn't even like think about it than for him just to go do it, something he's done 100 times. Do you see what I'm talking about? This is your life too at home. There are so many instances where it's something you can do so easily, but in your head you think, well, no, it's his turn to do it. He should do it, even though, because I've done it every time. Well, you've done it every time because it's so damn easy for you. Just keep doing it. If you love this person, again, correct or effective, if you love this person and want to make their life easier, and as long as it's something you don't hate, then just do it. I mean, picking up the dog poop in the backyard, I like to share that. I really do. But if it came down to fighting all the time about it, I would say to you, pay some neighborhood kid to friggin' do it and be done with it already. Like, or make your children do it or just something else. Cause it gets to be enough when we're fighting over stuff over and over. So again, if you think of you guys as a shared resource, your partner and you are a shared resource, you're using up less resources in the relationship if you do the grocery shopping, despite the fact that this means you put in more hours of work in the relationship in general. Do you see that? So it might take more hours to do grocery shopping than to cut the lawn, and he cuts the lawn. But again, if it's easier for you, it's better in the relationship, then just go with it. But don't try to say, well, it took me 3 hours to grocery shop and it only took you an hour to do the lawn, so you owe me 2 hours. It doesn't work that way. Again, it's a shared resource. Nobody owes anybody. And at the end of the day too, you know, my partner making me feel loved and safe, that's a biggie. That, again, that hyena lion thing, though, that's worth a ton. So again, if I kept scoring hours with that, it wouldn't really work, right? Because how do you talk about feeling safe and feeling loved? You know, those are things that you can't really quantify in that way. But really honoring your partner's contributions and your own and understanding that they're just different is really what it's all about. Okay, so enough about that one. I'm going to give you now number four for why keeping score in a relationship really sucks and why you shouldn't be doing it. So being happy for your partner means a happy marriage. That is another reason why you don't want to keep score. Because when you keep score, I have a couple where the husband travels a lot for work, and she's home with four kids, and there's a lot going on, as you might imagine, with these four kids. And he'll say things like, "Oh my gosh, I just got to, you know, Italy. It's so beautiful. It's so lovely here." And she's at home going, "Oh great, good for you with the lovely Italy. Hope you're enjoying the food. I'm here stuck at home with all these kids." Do you see what happens? It again becomes this competition, and it's not, again, the shared resource of thinking, wow, my husband's getting all these wonderful things. This is bringing wonderfulness to our marriage. This is great. So because keeping score and competing results is not being happy when your partner shares something awesome. That's the problem. Instead, you end up feeling resentful, right? You know, again, with her, like, good for you. You got that promotion. Now you get to travel to, you know, Europe for work. I'll be stuck at home taking care of the kids. You know, that is not being happy for our partner. Now, marriage expert John Gottman, who I talk about all the time, love his work out of New York. His research has shown that not being able to connect over each other's good news often spells failure for relationships. It's a pretty big deal, actually. So it's not just a good idea. The research shows you really got to look at it. With what he calls them disaster couples. He found that, I'm going to quote, when one person in the relationship shared the good news of, say, like a promotion at work with excitement, the other would respond with wooden disinterest by checking his watch or shutting the conversation down with a comment like, "That's nice." That's a disaster couple. Don't be a disaster couple. Again, remember you're a shared resource, so stop focusing so much on yourself and focus on the two of you together. Now, if one player on a basketball team is the greatest player ever but never passes the ball and doesn't work with his teammates, they're never going to be champions, right? It's the team that makes it to the finals, the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, or the World Series, that it's the teamwork. That's how it works. The only time one person wins something is in golf or tennis, and those are solo sports, right? Those aren't team sports. So again, if you want the marriage to win, you need to stop keeping score for yourself. Be a team player. Know that everyone on the team is valuable, not just the ones with the most playing time or who are, you know, scoring the most on the board. Everybody's valuable in some way. Being there for your partner when the going gets rough is, you know, clearly that's important. Got to be there, right? But the research shows that being there for your partner when the going is right is just as, if not more, important for relationship satisfaction and happiness overall. So you got to make sure you're your partner's biggest support, their cheerleader, you're in their corner, and that you're seeing that when good things happen, it's again, adding to the resource of the couple. And if you're feeling left out or anything else, you know, you got to say something. You got to say, "Wow, I'm so excited for you. I am really happy on this level that you got this promotion and you're traveling. I'm going to admit, I get a little resentful for a moment, you know, when I'm here with the kids and having a hard time. And I want you to know that doesn't take away from how happy I am for you. So I'm going to get out of my head. And you know what can happen is he might even say to you, oh, well, when I'm off traveling, why don't we get extra help at home for you so you have time off? You know, it doesn't mean that just because your partner's gone that both of you can't take some time off, that you couldn't get someone to come in even for a day to take care of the kids, and you can go to a spa, have a spa day, or go get a massage, go get a mani-pedi. Again, if you only look at the couple as the resource, you end up screwed, because if your partner's away, let's say on work, for something for work, you're thinking, oh my God, it's all on me now. No. When your partner's away, you should actually have more help at home. You should have more people coming in. You should have, you know, maybe that's the time to ask your in-laws or your mother or somebody to come visit and help with the kids. Don't see it as, oh, I just have to now buck up and do even more. Because what will happen is that when your partner gets home, let's say your husband gets home, and this could be reversed. You could be the one traveling and your husband could be home with the kids, either way. But let's say, you know, your husband's off, he's working, he comes home. You get to that point where you're so frazzled, you're so at the end that you end up dumping the kids, right? You're like, oh, take the kids, I'm done, I'm out of here, you know? And you don't even end up spending time with your partner because, again, you're keeping score around the kids or whatever's happening. And that resentment starts to really breed and really become a problem in the relationship. So there you have it. That is your four reasons why keeping score in your relationship is really going to make you lose, right? We talked about it set puts you on opposite sides, and you got to think of yourselves as a shared resource. We talk about how keeping score stops you from listening and connecting because you're just pissed and everything else, right? We talk about how equal time doesn't mean equal value. You got to get rid of that. And we talked about how being happy for your partner is really important. You know, being there and being excited when they get things is really important for a happy marriage. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you learned a lot today, that you maybe were even taking notes. I don't know. Definitely make sure that you comment. You can comment on my right on my website. You can find this podcast at abbymedcalf.com/podcast. Or you can comment anywhere, actually, and leave a review. It's always great also. And if you have questions or things you'd like to hear about on future episodes, you can always email me at abby@abbymedcalf.com. Or you can hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn or any of those lovely social media sites. That's it for now. Thank you so, so much again. I'm really excited you were here with me. I know you have a lot of ways you can spend your time, and I'm just always humbled and thrilled that you choose to spend any time with me. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast at www.abbymedcalf.com.